Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
So, Gavin, are you watching back your performances after they happen?
Yes. Yeah, I have to watch them back after they happen, because when you go on, it's the weirdest thing. It's like you sing, then you chat to the coaches afterwards, and then you head off. But the only part you can't remember is your vocal part. It's almost like it's like being deleted out of your head. So I can't wait to get like back and just YouTube it, or go onto the Voice as a site, and just watch it so that I can see exactly how it went, because how it feels and how it comes out sometimes is not the same thing.
Gavin, if we had to say, let's look back on the past 37 years.
Yeah.
And let's think about what role The Voice has played in your life and times thus far. Obviously, you're in the midst of it, so you're not entirely sure even exactly what it is.
Yes.
But what do you think you're going to think back on this experience with, you know, as you move out of it, regardless of the outcome?
It's funny. While I'm in it now, it feels like you know when they always say in hindsight, and then you look back and so on. But this definitely feels like this is the moment in hindsight that everything that has happened to me in my career has been leading up to. And when I say everything has happened, like a lot of the bad as well. You know what I mean? Any mistake that I made in the past, or all of that, like, is now. It's opened my eyes to how important situations were in the past that I didn't take full advantage of, or wasn't ready for, or wasn't on the ball, where that's all happening now. So as I'm looking at it, like they work as hard to like be prepared in your song, but not just prepared, like note by note. You need to get it into muscle memory and get that so perfect that when you step on stage and the nerves will kick in, then the muscle memory takes over, and then you can perform and building that confidence in your voice.
What do you think has been the most interesting aspect of your story in life thus far?
That's a tough one, because you know that on the show, like I was speaking in the video about my drinking and, you know, giving up drinking, and it's mad. Like I've got some mad stuff, like awesome stuff, crazy stuff, insane stuff that has happened through my life, but, I sort of just let it go, because I was just searching for one thing, which was just to get, you know, the band famous or myself famous or so on. And you sort of, how can I say it? Yeah. You just, you don't look back at it and think how many amazing things I've done, and you disregard all these things. It's weird. There's so many things, because now I've got so many great things happening in my life right now, you know, and it's, I think it was partly because of manning up, stopping drinking. My wife stopped drinking with me as well, which was amazing. You know, and when I say that each time, it sounds like we were these raging alcoholics, and, you know, I was still performing 6 shows a week, but when you're doing that, you're drinking quite a lot. But
yeah.
Since I stopped that, everything just seems to just make sense. Everything just seems to fall into place. Everything that I did back then, I see so hugely, and it's mad. It's mad.
What was your relationship with fame sort of 10, 15 years ago, and what is it now? Just with that
very
word.
Very different.
And with that idea.
Very different. When you start off in music, you want to be famous. You know, you want to be a celebrity. You want people to know your name. You want, and then, you know, through Brian McFadden, when I went overseas.
From Westlife, yeah.
From Westlife, yeah. Then you start, I mean, they're crazy famous. Like, I mean, crazy. Like, over here, if a celebrity walks through a mall, everyone just like points and go, there's Stevie. And that's it. We're there. They go crazy. They go ballistic. And I just saw how it changes your life. And at the same time, we were just driving. We wanted the one thing, the wrong thing of it all, which was the fame and everything. So seeing it now, this, you know, The Voice has been absolutely amazing. It's even now we walk through malls and we can see how many people are watching it, but definitely not after fame. It comes with it. But this time, I actually just want to be a proper professional, you know, because over the years, I think I was a fake it to make it type of person, you know, like a rock and roller. I think most rock and rollers in the beginning are fake it to make it.
Mm-hmm.
You just get up there, you have a few shots of tequila, and if you jump up and move your head around lots, then people just love you. You know what I mean? Where now I want perfection. I want to get up there. I want people to know that this person is flawless. It's flawless.
To be an artist, though, it seems like one has to really stretch oneself emotionally, and you know, with the territory comes highs and lows.
Yes.
And life experience is unfortunately part of what's going to make you relevant to the average human being.
100%.
And you've had, you know, a lot of that, which I guess do you like this idea of being an artist, or has it really just been tough to get to this point?
I love this. I love being an artist. I really do. Like last year, I was very close to giving it up and getting a job. But obviously, you know, from the backstory that I chose to give up drinking because the two wouldn't do together. But I love being an artist. I love making music. I've always found the fame side of it a little bit hard because I'm very shy. But making music, singing, the lifestyle, all of that, I love it. I really do love it. I couldn't see myself doing anything else than singing. I just got to get used to everything else in it.
Yeah, I guess it's no one really can prep you for this, right?
No, not at all. Like there was one or two people that afterwards, and this was back at the battles, that when they didn't make it through, you know, I was saying goodbye to them, and I said, no, don't worry about it. And they said the funny thing is the whole process opened their eyes to how they don't like that. They don't like this industry, that side of it. Like they were loving playing like in a pub and so on. And now they got to see that it's a tough business. Like it's 95% of it is you either sitting somewhere waiting to rehearse or to get better or choreography or clothing or this. And then that little window is you getting up and singing. And they found it very tough, but it is, you have to be very thick skinned because then you got, you know, everything on Facebook, Twitter, things like that where there's comments that you're not going to like.
Yeah.
You gotta want this a lot.
What are people telling you about you on social media?
I don't understand what's going on at the moment, because since say something up and I'm not like I go on and there's like 99% are amazing,
yeah.
And then there's like one or two people that just go and it's not even that negative, so I don't get it. I said to my wife the other night, I said I don't understand how it is that whatever I do, they're just like fully loving it. Supporting it, like supporting it 100%. So I'm not saying I'm totally appreciative of it. It's just, you know, when something happens, we're told, you know, if it's too good to be true, this is so too good. So I'm not looking at it. I don't want it to change. Definitely not. But it's been overwhelming. Like Bobby's fans are just, they've just embraced it. Yeah. It's amazing.
With all this life experience that you have and that you come to the table with, it must be an interesting experience for you to see really young people going through this process,
yeah.
And trying to make sense of it in their context, because you were once that young guy.
Yeah. It's mad because I even went through a stage where I did this where you, the older you get, you do it from a desperation point of view. So I can see a lot of different things from the young to the in-between to the older crowd and all that. And you know, when you're young, you really want this, but you really don't know what you want. You don't know because you just want to sing for everybody and you just want to be famous. But the last thing you want is that, you know, because anyone can get famous. They can have their, what do they call it, 5 minutes of fame, and then it's gone. This is about, you know, connecting with people that when a connection is made, it's long term. It's something where they want to see you sing for the rest of your career. They want to come to every single show. They want to hear what you have to say, things like that. So, yeah, in South Africa, we're not really exposed to all of that, I think. It's a very different market. From staying overseas, I saw, man, they are switched on there. They're very professional. Like, they just work, 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 work. When they get on stage, you know, like, yeah, talent is talent, but they perfect their talent. So when they stand there, they look amazing. And that's what this show now, I tell you what, has brought to this country is bringing artists in. And then honing that and saying to them, like, if you're sitting, yeah, at good 80%, imagine taking that to 100%, that when you get on there with a bit of nerves, it drops down to 90%, and everyone goes, this person looks amazing and sounds amazing.
This has been a very insightful conversation. We're going to wrap it up with this question.
Yes.
What song best describes the story of your life?
Funny enough. Are you asking now about a song that I've sung now? Any song in general?
Any song. Because you might still sing it on the show, yeah.
It is, my wife says it is, and my son said it as well, and a lot of people, and then when I heard it, it's 7 years.
Really? Lucas Graham?
Yep. You should go listen to it again. It's insane. Huh. I listened to it and I thought, oh, wow, wow. Because he's talking about being a muso. And then, like, he talks about his boys, which are the boys in the band. But, you know, I've got quite a story with my boys that will be coming out. But it's just, I would say that song.
And so then the final question based on the answer to that question will then be, you know, this is going to be a podcast and it'll be around for the rest of time because, you know, internet.
Yeah.
If we had to take this podcast and I had to get into my time machine because I'm cool like that and go back
to... That's what we got here. Got time machines, man.
Go back to 7-year-old Gavin Edwards and play this interview out 30 years later. What do you think 7-year-old you would think?
Man, 7-year-old me and I know what 7-year-olds will be doing. I'd be in America. My dad was in the embassy there, and he would be standing in his black pants. So he got his mom to sew up a little bit so you could see the white socks and the shiny shoes like Michael Jackson. He'd be in his leather jacket outside, sweating because it was summer, and he'd say, "No doubt, no doubt, I'm going to be a star."
Power. Gavin Edwards, thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks for having me. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.